This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial and you want to keep up, because obviously it's a busy time and you want to hear the local scene in sports, you can do so on the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can stream live anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. George Ruggiero producing the program for us. Follow him always on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day to you.
My company, as he is each and every Wednesday on the program. He, of course, the host of Writer Than Right Trivia. We will have tickets to the Battle of the Birds coming up on Monday. I attended the very first Battle of the Birds. He's also, of course, the master of fun and games here in Memphis. The website, CerritoEntertainment.com, on Twitter, on X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
How are you? Yeah, I remembered yesterday that that game is coming up. Yeah, it's going to be Monday night at AutoZone Park, right?
Monday night, AutoZone Park, and then the Cardinals will tee it up for real on Wednesday. So they will play at AutoZone on Monday night. It's officially listed as a spring training game. Then they will have opening day.
Opening day is next Wednesday.
Correct.
I guess it's not, at least it's not on a tournament day, but get me in the, the room for PR for baseball here.
I get it. It's a bygone era, but it's like opening day is have the freaking parade in Cincinnati. It opens it up, and then Cincinnati opens up baseball at noon Eastern on that Monday. And this is coming from a Cardinals fan.
On what Monday? Do you want to start it in the middle of March Madness? I mean, is that...
Well, no, Monday, I think, is better. Because
sure, Monday is better. Yeah, so you're going to do it then.
Because that's the other thing about Sunday night is we'll get done with Sunday, we get to Monday, and we've just had games like flooding our eyes for the last 4 days, and you're just like, I need something during the day to watch, and then I've always thought that was a good spot.
Don't you need to be productive for like a few days?
I'm working, Kevin.
It's your job, but other people, you know, like they're cutting corners on Thursday, Friday this week at work, right? You're doing very little work. So I think the economy needs us to be working on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. So we can slack off again on Thursday, Friday. But that's just from an economic standpoint, but also just for if you're baseball. I still, like, you're taking off. Like, there's going to be games happening Saturday, Sunday, and teams from around the country. We start with 68 teams, I realize, from the podcast that John Martin does. And there's 68.
There's a field of 68 teams, although technically there's 66 right now.
They're down to 66. Yeah. There's so many markets that are going to be talking about their teams being eliminated over the weekend, right? Like, that's going to be the sports talk on Monday. It's going to be the tournament. It's not going to be baseball. So, like, you want to try to share the time or figure out a different spot on the calendar. But anyway, that's what, you know, when I became named sports czar, which is, you know, actually really possible under this current administration, we could get that. That'll be one of
You have to be loyal.
Oh.
That's the first prerequisite.
Well, I'm not saying there's a chance that I will be selected, but I do feel like there's a possibility we could get a sports.
The Department of Sports Efficiency.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. There you go. We need that.
I would not be opposed.
That's not a bad idea. I think we could do a whole show about what we could do with that.
I think the problem is a lot of the owners of sports probably funded the campaign. So that's always a big problem.
Sports efficiency. I mean, we opted the Super Bowl, President's Day situation. We've got Major League Baseball. Come on now. What are you doing? In the middle of March Madness. Anyway.
Do people realize?
But Monday's a great spot for the Redbirds game.
Seriously. No,
that's
I agree with you.
That's a great spot for
that.
The Redbirds game. Yeah.
Do people realize how many casuals out there realize Major League Baseball's played two games?
See, I have no idea.
George, you're not a casual.
I am a casual. I had no idea. I had no idea that there's been
official
games.
The Cubs and Dodgers
played. There's official games that have happened.
In Tokyo, in the middle of the night, I guess technically like early in the morning, and like they, obviously they're capitalizing on the fact that the biggest star in baseball is Japanese.
But they need to do the games in Tokyo now because of the travel?
I think they were just trying to go.
Or the climate.
I think it's similar to when, remember when we watched The Last Dance and when basketball was exploding in Europe and David Stern sent the Bulls over to Paris to like open the season?
Yeah.
I think it's along those same lines of, hey, we have the biggest star in baseball opens up the Japanese market. Let's go cash in.
Well, no, I agree they need to have it, but it just seems weird that it, you know,
I don't know if you need to open the season with it, but it's also brought its own challenge. Now people are complaining Fox did not send over broadcasters. They broadcasted remotely.
Oh.
So, of course, that had people feeling a certain way. All right, it is Wednesday. It's buy, sell short, or go to Wednesday. We'll start with the Tigers, get into some Grizzlies. Also, we had the first John Cena heel promo from Monday afternoon. That also occurred in Europe, so Kevin yep. wants to talk about that a little bit as well. Coming up next segment, we'll do our TV timeout. One of my favorite things, Kevin, about the first four is to identify what are the commercials that we're just going to be absolutely beaten over the head with for the next month. A couple that I want to discuss with you. Also, really kind of setting in, feeling Greg Gumbel's absence. Get into the announced teams. Kevin wanted to discuss that a little bit. Also, we have learned that there will actually be a second season of Quarterback. We will have quarterbacks actually on Quarterback, so discuss that a little bit as well. I have got a new indicator of when you can officially stop caring about NFL free agency. I noticed that today. Also, Dan Wetzel has written a story about the difference between the older coaches in college basketball and some of the older coaches in college football and the new way of doing things. Want to discuss that. Scotty Scheffler has revealed his Masters Champions Dinner. It's always tough when the guy is doing his Champions Dinner basically 2 years after he already did it once. Like, there's not really a ton of surprises. I think he's pretty much doing the same thing again. So we'll discuss that, maybe talk a little bit more about the first four because we have two more tonight. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But, George, I think it's time. Let's fire up some Buy, Sell, Short, or Go to Reddit. All right, Kevin, I struggled with the wording of this one, so I want to start with the Tigers and, more importantly, the Tigers in the tournament. And I think I'll say it this way. This is the biggest free shot the Memphis basketball program has had in an NCAA tournament. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit.
The biggest one?
Yep.
You know, I don't know how, I can't go back, and I really wasn't, you know, wasn't so breaking down the bracket back in.
I'm doing it from memory.
In 84, but.
Well, and also you have the weird reality of like, so bracketing as we know it, 1 through 16, begins in 85.
Right.
And then before then, you kind of had situations where teams would, you know, seeding begins, I think, in the 70s, and you had some teams that were quote unquote playing games where they were on the bracket. So the ones that I thought qualified, when Josh ran the table, is that 2011? When Josh runs the table in El Paso.
Oh, yes.
Because they weren't in the tournament. They win the conference tournament in El Paso. I think they got a 12 that year. That kind of felt free shoddy because it felt like the great moment was Josh hugging the guys after the CUSA championship game. Then after that, it felt like Josh was in a lot of pressure cookers in terms of like, hey man, at some point, like you're going to really need to win these games. And so the other kind of wording that I kicked around was, this feels like the lowest stakes for the Tigers in the tournament. Because you also have to factor in, it's the tournament, so it has stakes no matter what.
Right.
But...
well, there's definitely stakes. I mean, it's win or go home, right?
Correct.
But it feels... And I think part of the reason you try it's tough for your brain to compute, because we're coming off of, right, what we do every year now, which is start the year off with you got to win every game.
Here's the season,
right? Like it's really completely flipped. The whole mindset of a Tiger fan is flipped going into this. Obviously, you're in the tournament now, but we've just spent a long stretch of watching games where losing is a disaster and winning doesn't mean anything. And in this situation, I feel like it's a little reverse. Like, I feel like if the Tigers, if you win, I think it's great, right? It's great if you win, but if you lose, it's not a disaster. So, like, I feel like it's a little bit reverse. So we're coming off of a long stretch. Tigers losing, disaster. Now you lose, and it's okay. While before, winning was just okay. Now winning is awesome because you're going to advance and possibly get matched up with UConn again or Florida after you get through Maryland. And so it's like you're not. I hate to say playing with house money or whatever, but you're definitely approaching this game anyway because it's a tournament game. You approach it with a different lens, right? But after, when you're a team like the Tigers and you play in the conference and every game is like, if we lose this, it's going to be a disaster. I think this is a successful season so far for Penny Hardaway's perspective, 100% successful season for Penny Hardaway. Like, the questions are out the window. He is more than an AAU coach. He is the Tigers coach. He can run a program. He is great. He's already, so win or lose against Colorado State, a team that has amazing momentum going into the tournament as well. Like, if you're going to lose a 5-12, that's a historical one you would lose.
I mean, you're also an underdog.
Right, Vegas thinks it's possible that you will lose. So, I think it's possible. It adds to the excitement. I think it's not going to be as huge of a disaster if the time. It's not going to be, not nearly of like you've come off of like every game. It's a disaster if you lose. It's not a disaster if you lose, and it's pretty awesome if you win, and you can keep building on this momentum that Penny's had. So the winning means a lot more than it has meant over the past few months. Not just because it's the tournament, but it's a game that it's the minute.
It's a game that matters. It's a game that you're like moving your calendar for. All right, I actually am going to buy this, but I'm going to cautiously buy this because I actually think probably the scenario that it mirrors the most is the FAU 2022 game. Now, it's obviously a little bit different in the sense that Memphis was an 8 in that game, and you were going up against, most people were under the impression of, all right, go beat FAU, be competitive with Purdue, and that's a respectable season.
Right.
But everything changed that night in Columbus the moment FDU knocked off Purdue. And all of a sudden, the entire pressure just ramped up because you started to know at that point, oh my gosh, this isn't going to play the number one team in the bracket. This is going to play a 16 seed that played in the first four game on Tuesday night. Now we have a chance to, at the minimum, get to the Sweet 16. Oh, by the way, in that Sweet 16, we'd be matched up with Tennessee. Tennessee's been devastated by injuries. And at that point, you could knock them off, have those bragging rights, and then you have the opportunity in an Elite Eight against a ragged Kansas State team that Marquise Newell was just like running on fumes. Like, you could have had the FAU run, and so
absolutely the Tigers would have beaten them. I believe they would have.
But like the thing is, coming in thinking about that week, the mindset of the fan base was very similar to what it is now, and not in the sense of you came into a chaotic season. Because that you are coming off a season in which Penny wins his first tournament game, you take Gonzaga down to the wire, and you had a respectable end of the season. But that was such an up and down, up and down, up and down season. Yeah. And then the following year, it really wasn't that up and down. It was Kendrick really stabilized them with Kendrick and DeAndre. Like, it was a very stable team. The reason why I feel like I want to buy it is because let's look at the mindset of where everyone was when this season started. This is the first time, I think, collective doubt. There's always going to be whatever haters in the streets. There's always going to be certain people that have expectations that don't represent the masses. Like, that's just part of a fan base made of human beings. But I think the average fan was now starting to doubt, man, can Penny really get this done? Like, every year it's the same story over and over again. Drama, playing too many guys, street ball, whatever, however you want to phrase it. Like, everyone kind of collectively said that. And what he demonstrated this year, and I think for the first time, even more so than in 2022, I think he demonstrated, I know how to run a program, because we've seen different aspects of it. Like, I think people leave out his very first year with the very first year where he's coaching Tubby's roster. I think he did a pretty good job coaching. Then he went all in on, I got to get the best players possible. So then it becomes more of a recruiting thing. And then it's just kind of this juggling of what's the identity. And then I want to be a guy that plays everybody and presses all night and it's 40 minutes of hell. And then this year you start to see, all right, he started to do it more conventionally. He's got a key rotation. He's got a clearly defined rotation. He did not go out and try to just get the biggest stars available. He got good basketball players, and he's done a phenomenal job with them. Like, almost every single guy down the line feels like they are better than when Penny got them. And then I think the other aspect of this is it does feel like kind of a built-in pre-excuse when Tyrese Hunter's probably not playing. Dante Harris is probably not playing. So you're probably missing your most experienced NCAA tournament guard in Tyrese, and you're missing your backup point guard. And so it almost feels like...
We're pretty confident that they're not going to be playing. You say probably not.
I would be stunned.
You'd be stunned.
Let me say this. I'd be stunned if Tyrese plays. I'd be really, really surprised if Dante plays.
All right.
I hold out hope that Dante can play. Now, to what degree? I don't know. I mean, if you also want to draw similarities, when the Tigers went and beat Boise out in Portland 3 years ago, Alex Lomax was dealing with the ankle, and he gutted it out. So maybe Dante has his Alex Lomax moment, but I would be surprised to see them. With that being said, I think they still probably have the two best players on the floor.
I do feel so there was a lot of questions, right, with Penny, right? Memphis, we're smart basketball people, right? And we've proven over the past few years, been very patient fan base. And I think the patience has paid off here.
I think patient with him.
Patient with him. Right.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a patient fan base in general.
No, not at all. We're not patient with Tubby Smith, but nor should we be. I mean, sometimes in life you need...
History's kind of being kinder to Josh than we thought in real time.
You need to have... Right. But you need to have, I think, if you're not seeing the success right in front of you as in anything with life, right, there needs to be like, what's the path to that success? Do you see like we're on the right...
Hope. You need tangible hope.
But like realistic, like, okay, I see... We can do it. We didn't do it now, but we can do it next year. And what this season played out to me, it shows that Penny can put together a season that positions the Tigers as a 5 seed in the tournament, right? That's not debatable. That's a fact. The Tigers are a 5 seed. Penny coached a team to the 5 seed, which is like, that is, give me that at the beginning of every season, right?
Yep.
That's what you want. So we know he can do that part. And as the smart basketball fans that Memphians are, we know how hard it is that luck plays a big factor in this tournament, right? And obviously, as you pointed out, the Tigers' luck not going right in that right direction at the moment because injuries are a big part of that luck. If your team goes down in March, then it's not a great situation. I mean, you still have your best player. You still have your coach. You still have some momentum. But, you know, will that matter? Going into, I think Memphis is, we've got the smart fans that know, like, all right, Penny's had a great season. Can he win now? Now, eventually, that might stack up. I mean, if you have 10 years of or six, 10 years of getting the 5 seed and doing nothing in the tournament, then it matters, right?
Well, then you wind up in either, however you want to slice it, you wind up in Pastner territory, or I would actually argue where you wind up in is similar to like where Mick Cronin was with Cincinnati, where they were good almost every year. but they did not. I think they made one second weekend.
But I mean, you even look at like Coach K a lot with Duke, but he occasionally would have success, right? So like you have to like you can. If you look at Duke's history, you know they would.
You can get bounced in the first round as a two seed when you just often. When you just won a title.
But you can win. Yeah. You gotta have some success down the line. Now this is not the pressure on this. This was the season like Penny proved he can position the Tigers for the most success. Now will luck fall the way Colorado State? Some say is a great matchup. Are you happy, Jeffrey, as far as all the 5-12s, Colorado State, playing them in Seattle makes the most sense for you? Colorado a little bit closer to Seattle. I don't think
still
that's going to
that
matter.
Close.
It's not going to matter.
I don't think we realize.
In the Memphian's mind, it feels like it, but there's a whole couple other states in between.
Like I think people think that like Seattle and L.A. are close. That's an 18-hour drive.
Right.
Like we just kind of, on that side of the country, I don't think we realize how far apart everything is.
Colorado is actually kind of close to. Is it closer to Memphis? What's the than it is to Seattle?
I mean, it's probably right around kind of like the halfway point. So I mean, it's clearly shorter for them, but
yeah.
Overall, yes,
but
I'm
it's
happy.
Not like they're all. Yeah, it's not. Like, yeah, we could jump on. We've got to jump on an airplane.
Well, I mean, I've got a clearly defined brand here. Like I have been screaming, I don't understand why the Mountain West gets the respect that it does. And this is like me going from, in college, I watched this when there was, at night, when there was just something to watch. And I was like, this league's kind of fun. Well, then it became like hipster and everyone tried to shove it down your throat. And then people somehow decided that this is a good league. This league is basically just the West Coast Conference with a better TV deal.
Okay, but I mean, it's not like they're Colorado State is that over. They're obviously favored in this game, but they are a 12 seed. Your other 12 seeds, you see San Diego, you had Liberty, and is it McNeese? I mean, Colorado State is the biggest brand of those four.
So McNeese is the news of the day is Will Wade is taking the NC State job.
Oh, really? That is okay. Right.
So how much does that play into it? Also, though, most likely Colorado State's coach is going to be Minnesota's next coach. And so, like, that's working in their favor. I just think that every time you'll watch them, with the exception of San Diego State, like, the last 10 years, this year not included, because they were just really, really young this year, what you'll find with those teams is they're all, like, well-coached and, but they just, you can just out-athlete them. And that, to me, is a really good recipe for Ole Miss, for Memphis, because I compare it to the Ole Miss game, because Ole Miss played Colorado State, and like I was telling John thought when we had the Mississippi two-step, if you will, it was like State and Ole Miss back to back.
Right. Yep.
He was like, he was telling me, he's like, I think State's the more gettable, and I was like, the more gettable for Memphis is definitely going to be Ole Miss, because
you were right.
I thought like physically Mississippi State could match up at the front court. I just don't think Colorado State can. Now, that's why we play the games. I could be wrong.
But if you compare this to the...
I think your preference would probably...
I mean, Colorado State's got, they're...
So, like, the weird thing...
They're on a streak, but also, like, people are talking, like, is that a good thing, going into the...
The weird thing about Liberty is Liberty basically does nothing but shoot threes, and so you could find yourself in one of the games where they're hot, but you could, I think I'd still probably play Liberty than Colorado State. I think I'd rather play Colorado State than UC San Diego.
Okay. Right.
Because where UC San Diego, even though I think they might get stomped, they can take advantage of Memphis's bad habits. And if you don't have Tyrese, like they force a lot of turnovers, they take care of the ball, they can get you into like that type of game that Memphis doesn't really prefer. I don't know if Colorado State can. Like you saw last night with North Carolina. North Carolina just decided like, hey, we're going to run. You better keep up and you better stop us from making shots and try to slow it down. Because you could tell like right off the bat, like Dortch knew that game was going a certain way that they could not handle.
When you compare this to the year that Memphis lost to their soon to be conference mate Florida Atlantic, it was that bracket broke right for Florida. That's how you get to the Final Four sometimes, is the bracket, like the best teams are losing, and Memphis is in possibly the hardest part of the entire bracket. It's the most intriguing, It's possibly the hardest, but I do wonder if the chaos can help. Like, is there the kid? All of these teams just eat each other alive, and then somehow you are playing a team that you position yourself. I don't see, like, you tell me this path that breaks like that for the Tigers. Now, you beat Colorado State. I do think they match up Maryland. That's fine. You know, Grand Canyon can upset Maryland, and then, you know, no.
Yeah, but then I would be.
You got Florida, UConn. You beat UConn once. You're going to do it again. Florida is.
I don't think. SEC I don't think
champions.
You,
like,
I don't
have
think
much
UConn
of
can beat Florida.
You don't think so?
No.
And that, but we've got like a the best case scenario for Memphis in this bracket is a Sweet 16, which is a great case scenario. But maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. I mean, who knows? UConn could lose in the first round to Oklahoma. Let's be honest. Oklahoma SEC tested. You know.
Well, not only that, like, things that give UConn problems are like fast guards, and they got one of the best ones. All right, let's get into some Grizzlies. All right, buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. The Grizzlies' biggest issue right now is availability, not ability.
Well, it's been an issue, but so is Ja playing the next game? Do we know what's
going
on?
Ja's out. So Santi and Scotty are listed as questionable. Scotty was listed as questionable prior to the Sacramento game, did not play. Santi was listed as doubtful prior to the Sacramento game, did not play. The difference being he's been upgraded from doubtful to questionable.
All right. Yeah. So, I think it's obvious. I mean, a lot of it has been, well, I mean, it's part of it, right? I mean, the rotation you factor in, like, there's the availability, like, you have them available sometimes and they don't even play. But, we're still, I was reminded, I guess, was I watching the March Madness last night? I saw a Stanley Cup commercial is what I'm saying. The playoffs are very close,
yes.
Right? Like, because I had a hockey, you know, hockey's about, it all starts at the same time. But not if I was the sports czar, you know, the Department of Sports Efficiency.
Hockey rolls, though, through their playoffs.
I do feel like, yeah, hockey and NBA at the same time complement each other. I think they help each other out.
Yeah, I agree.
That they're happening at the same time. And my goodness, you're not going to be playing the hockey playoffs in the summertime. You can't go that deep into the summer.
Didn't we have Tampa have like some ice issues one of the Stanley Cup playoffs because it's obviously June
or
whatever.
Yeah, they go into like mid-June by the time you're
they still
like,
go
if
to mid-June
game 7. Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean you can't go much further back for them. They probably should start it early. All right, but look, I haven't been appointed yet. Back to the Grizzlies. The playoffs are going to be here soon, and that's what you want, the availability there. So I honestly at this point the Grizzlies, the fact that we've whatever we've been debating, whether or not, and especially more recently, stuff with the coach again, right? Mm-hmm. But we've got, let's get to the playoffs. Let's get to the playoffs healthy with this team because you don't want to deal with the availability issue in the playoffs. Somehow the Grizzlies have hung on. I haven't checked this morning, but
so
I mean, they're
tied
like
for
a multi-way tie.
Yeah, that's like basically a four-way tie. So there's a tie between the Rockets and Nuggets. Behind them by one game are the Lakers and Grizzlies.
So they're, yeah. Oh, so I mean, it's going to be a tight finish.
I mean, it's, and there's 13 to play, basically.
We're going to have to go to a tiebreaker here. But,
I mean, I think it's likely seeding gets determined by tiebreakers,
which is not in the Grizzlies' advantage, I would think.
So the Grizzlies would really need to beat the Lakers when they come to FedEx Forum, and you hope that that tiebreaker ends up not mattering because you would split at that point. And then you need to finish really a game in front of Houston because Houston would have the tiebreaker of you, but you would get the other. If you finish a game in front of Houston, you would win the tiebreaker over teams that have even records with you if you had the division championship.
I'm going to sell this because I like your phrasing. I like your phrasing. It sounds right, but I feel like there's possibly
other issues
other
at hand.
Issues. At hand, because even when people are available, the Grizzlies aren't winning. So they play tonight, of course, against the Trailblazers. So they're at 9:00. So the Grizzlies are making us stay up late
yep.
the night before we have to wake up early to watch basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean wake up early, but watch some early morning basketball.
Well, you got a pregame.
Yeah,
you got to be ready.
You got pregame.
You got to put in your reps.
I'll be well awake before the 11:00 hour tips.
I think I'm going to buy this. The Grizzlies with Ja Morant, 28-13.
Okay.
The Grizzlies without Ja Morant, 15-13.
Yeah, but then like compare, like I want the numbers of how many minutes Ja plays. How what's the record versus You know, I was not, I have been patient, and I will be until the playoffs. I'm really, let's see how this works. Let's see how healthy this team is. Let's see how many minutes they're getting in playoff games versus how many they've been getting in these regular seasons. What's the rotation going to be like? Is it going to be the exact same, or is it going to be adjusted? I'm assuming it will be adjusted for the playoff games.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other aspect.
And
of
so
like,
that's, I think that's part of the strategy.
I think there's a large portion of the fan base that also thinks Santi sucks. And I think that that's just, like, categorically wrong. And, like, do I think he is on the same level as Jaren, and Dez?
Well, no.
But I think that he's significantly better than whatever else they've been putting out there? Yes, I do. Do I get frustrated at times that even when you're missing four guys, they still continue to play 10 guys, meaning you're basically playing 10 through 15? Yes, I do. I still think, though, if they can get to the playoffs and have this collection of Ja, Jaren, Dez, Santi, Brandon, Luke, Scotty at the minimum, and then you backfill, you figure out, I mean, Edie can obviously give you some minutes, give you some fouls, some minutes, some rebounds.
Wells
can obviously give you some minutes. I don't know what to do with Vince at this point.
I'm more in the camp. I mean, shoot, we're not, what, 2 weeks out of him saying I'm still playing at only 80%. I don't know how they don't sit him on the shelf for a little bit other than the lack of availability of some of these other guys.
I think that's it. I mean, I think it's kind of like that. But, I mean, if you're talking about with those eight guys, like, if you can tell me they're going to get to the playoffs with Ja, Jaren, Dez, Santi, Brandon, Luke, all healthy, give me those six guys, I think I could figure it out.
That. I would take
but
that.
But the reality is, like, can they? But that's why I still think the issue is availability. It's not like Ja has not had injury problems before.
I'll tell you, I like how it sounds. Let's see, because even when people are available, they're not necessarily getting the minutes. Luckily you don't have to figure it out. Taylor Jenkins, though, he does need to figure it out. And hopefully the Grizzlies are still going to, because they've been able to hold on to these top seeds this whole season, despite any type of these debates and availability or not available.
Yeah.
And here we are in the home stretch, and we're getting in a lot of these logjam ties. So
do think tonight's must win. I think the Grizzlies' path to the best seeding is, this is your second. When we talked about the six games they had remaining that were all extremely winnable, this is the second one of those.
Yeah, this is definitely one.
Like, oh no, I'm sorry, the third one. You took care of the Heat. And you took care of George. Who did we have last week, midweek, that sucked?
And it will show
Utah. Yeah, you took care of Utah. You took care of the Heat. Now, those are both at home.
I thought you meant Sacramento, because
Sacramento's in that mid-tier of coin flippy.
Okay,
well, and it went the other way.
Yeah, coin flippy, and they still can't win in California. All right.
I think we're at the point. Well, hopefully that they do win all these. That's also going to show me a lot about this team, because the NBA season's long and it's hard to be motivated to the extreme, you know, to like the must-win situations. And now they're into this point now, sure, of the schedule. And these ties, maybe it's going to force even more of that, which it is. I think it's important time. Every Grizzlies game matters even more now.
All right. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. The WWE is dropping the ball and Cena's heel turn.
Oh, all right. So we talked about this. So John Cena turning heel at the last premium live event, the Elimination Chamber, right? The biggest heel turn since Hulk Hogan turned at Bash in the
Beach.
You
can still call them pay-per-views. Come on.
In the 90s, when Hulk Hogan turned. Because Cena's been a babyface for 25 years.
Rest in peace, Dr. Thugonomics.
Yeah, just about that many years. So you watched it. I watched it. If you haven't watched it, you can check it out on YouTube. They've got it in its entirety. But watch out, the crowd there is chanting all types of things that your kids may not want to hear.
I thought it was edited on YouTube.
I could figure it out. But
it was... Well, the other thing was, they
like
were in
WWE
Belgium.
WWE on Netflix is something.
They were in Belgium, and the other problem that I had is, they know English, obviously, but there were some of the chants, like, there's like, yeah. F you, Cena, you can figure that one out pretty quickly. But there were like sometimes like, what are they saying? Like I did that led to confusion for me.
Okay, so Cena turned heel a few weeks ago. So I think dropping ball, because I buy this right now. I'm buying it. They not that they can't fix it, but I do feel like WWE has kind of dropped the ball on it. I come from an era. My peak fandom was in the 90s during the time Hulk Hogan was a heel. I think you got to follow these things up a little bit quicker, and you can't help Cena's schedule for shooting these movies, but like, you can time when that turn is happening. I feel like the follow-up, there was too much time between the follow-up. And then we get the follow-up, and this promo from Cena felt like it was something that should have happened.
The Raw after Elimination Chamber?
If it was quicker, that might have been more effective. But first, so the debate, Cena turns heel. It's like, what is Cena going to wear? He's going to wear this exact same thing.
Yep.
I'm like, all right, maybe they're trying to be clever, a little meta, and a little like in that way, but I don't think it works in practice. At the exact same Cena coming out, it's not working in practice. The music definitely needs to stay the same because you can chant, with that. I think the music's fine staying the same.
It's like with Kurt Angle. Why would you ever change the music?
Right, don't have to change that. Yeah. But so he gets to his promo. His promo just felt like one that would happen 10 years ago when the fans were tired of him. You know, he was acting like the fans are still tired of them. And we talked about this. He didn't need to turn heel because we're not tired of him anymore. We respect him. I think a lot of wrestling fans are like, Cena's last run. Let's watch it. Let's enjoy it. This guy did a lot. But he's coming out in his promo acting like it was 10 years ago. Like, this is not the current landscape we're in. I'm like watching this and I'm like, Cena, what are you talking about? Like, we have not been saying get off our TV for the past few years. You know, it's been, we were saying that to Roman for a long time before we were saying it to you. We've stopped saying it about Roman for 5 or 6 years. So, like, it just seemed like a 10 years ago, he can come out and say what he's saying, which he's really upset about the fans, but he didn't tell us what's going on. Why did he do it with The Rock? There was no mention of The Rock. Like, what's going on with The Rock? Why now? What was it that spun him out of control right now? Like, in his retirement, like, what was the, we don't get that. Like, why is he snapping now and getting mad at the fans? There was just a lot of questions I had that he just didn't address. I wanted to know why is Cena, like, if he's a good guy for so long, why is he turning now in your retirement year? You think you just go through your motions and do it?
All right. So I'm actually shorting this.
I mean, that's a good call.
I do agree that the promo itself fell flat. I was watching with my wife and she's just like, this is weird. She's like, I don't get this. Where I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. If you think back to last year in the Mania run, when we had Rock coming back, Rock came back and had some like fire promos, but then when we started like getting to the story of heading to WrestleMania, there was a lot of stuff that we're like, I don't know about this. And I even think back to the Friday night before Elimination Chamber, he gave like that weird promo from in front of the jet, and he gave Cody the car or the truck. He gave Cody the truck, and you're like, what's happening there? And then it's like you realize like, all it was just a design to like set up the belt, and he made sure to have the watch very much prevalent, whatnot. And like you realize, like that was really threatening. I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt of figuring this out, because one thing that I did actually like about the promo is we're sitting there going, "Where is this going?" And I think too often we as marks, like it's almost like you'll see this a lot of times with like legacy series where they're like expanding it. Like you see this with Star Wars. One of the complaints was that Star Wars fans don't like it when they predict what happens and it doesn't happen. Where I'm giving wrestling the benefit of the doubt is the surprise moments. The, I didn't see this coming. Like that's the stuff that is lasting. And I think the problem is, I do agree with you, this promo from Cena would have hit home 10 years more, but there's also been this weird deal of, when Cena was gone and not at the top for so long, it did make you kind of take a step back and you're like, Cena was kind of awesome. Like
everybody's come to respect him in the way that.
But I'm willing to see where this goes, because he did have some like things of like, okay, I think that the options are there to where they can actually land this plane.
And we'll see. And The Rock is different because The Rock's personality, like his heel turn last year led to this, right? That you can be a big movie star and be heel and make it all work, right? But there was no connection. We watched him turn heel and there was no mention of The Rock or why you're doing it with The Rock. What was the throat? That was the cool. It looked like he was under a spell from The Rock, right? Like he was having to do, but that was not addressed at all. And like, what is his motivation? If he comes, like he should have, I mean, maybe not. Maybe we're just booking it too much in our head, but it felt like he's going, you know, he has the record tied with Ric Flair for 16 championships. So if he came out and would have said, like, I'm going to do whatever I can to get that 17th title, I'm going to break this record, I want that record, if that's a real motivation for, you know, that an athlete would have, And he was going to do whatever it took, which was selling his soul to the Rock or something. It just felt like it could have been fixed. Like
I'm still open to this idea, though.
Like, can he get number 17 and officially not be tied with Ric Flair like the Grizzlies are tied with every NBA team right now?
Where I will give the promo some credit, one thing that I love in wrestling is grudges. And if they can really expand on this, I've held this grudge against you all for 10 years, even if it's not a grudge anymore. Like, I like the idea of grudge guy, and that sets this up.
And I'm telling you, the fans from overseas, they were great, and that made watching the promo, but it just seemed a very generic wrestling promo, and you're watching it, and it's like I sent people to watch the CM Punk promo Pipe from bomb? A few weeks ago. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
His very recent one was great. But this one just felt like generic paint-by-numbers wrestling heel promo, which I expected more because you've been waiting 25 years for John Cena to do more. Maybe there'll be more, and we'll continue to track it here because this should be the biggest story in wrestling, and it's kind of lost some steam.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got our TV timeout. Let's get into what's happening on the world of TV, the commercials that are going to get shoved down our throats in the next 3 weeks. Let's discuss all of it when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
FM, ESPN. Huge discounts await over at Robert Irwin Jewelers in South Haven this Saturday, March the 22nd, because they'll be hosting a 6-hour 60% off. And this is the real deal. It's a real 60% off sale. They're not marking up to mark down. And starting at 10 a.m. for 6 hours this Saturday, you'll get 60% off anything in the showcase. That means diamond anniversary bands, diamond rings, diamond pendants, designer jewelry, engagement rings, bracelets, earrings, necklaces, even name brand watches. It's all 60% off. There's over 1,000 items to choose from, so you'll want to shop early for the best selection.
Robert Irwin Jewelers also has special financing available. You can enjoy up to 12 months interest-free financing at Robert Irwin Jewelers, or you can pay over 60 months at a low APR. But it is in-store only, so you got to visit the Robert Irwin Jewelers in the South Lake Center in South Haven, Mississippi. And it starts at 10 a.m. running through Saturday at 4 p.m. For complete details, you can visit rijewelers.com or you can follow them on social media at rijewelers. All right, Kevin, one of my favorite things to do during the first four is obviously it kind of gets the blood going. Even though CBS Sports and CBS play the March Madness song, it hits different in March. I think we can all agree on that. It feels like maybe they just pump it up a little bit more. I don't know. It hits you in the feels a little bit different. And so it's nice to see the floors laid out in the NCAA tournament fashion. And then watching the do-or-die element, although it appears San Diego State was just decided to we're going to have a nice, clean soldier's death. But one of my other favorite things about watching the first four is it gives you a nice preview of the ads that are going to drive you insane for basically the next month, because they're going to be shoved down your throat, and we're going to be watching basketball at almost all hours of this weekend, and then we watch a lot over the next two subsequent weekends. All right, this is the one I want to start with. Have either of y'all, George, you can get in on this, have either of y'all seen this new Adidas ad? And it came on the heels of last year where Adidas did the thing where they had their big athletes kind of singing a song. Like, they were coming down like some steps. I don't even recall what song it was. I just remember it being grating. They've kind of decided to run it back, but it's got more of like they picked more of an R&B type song. And I just keep wondering, who is this for? Because, like,
the untapped Adidas people. I don't know. I'm not sure what's.
But like, there's no way you're 14 years old and you watch this commercial and you're like, you know what? Forget the swoosh.
I gotta get some Sambas.
I know Yeezys are not as in style anymore, but it's like, you know what? I need the stripes, not the swoosh. There was nothing about it. Like, and I can already tell this is gonna be the one that every time it's on your screen, you're just gonna get so annoyed.
I haven't seen this.
Like, I don't think I've seen it yet.
I don't think I've seen the new one, because I do recall the one that you're talking about.
Like, they were walking down steps and they were all singing. They were kind of all off key. Like, it felt like part of it was like the bad singing. But then you realize, like, after maybe it was like humorous the first time you saw it, but then when it just gets shoved down your throat, like, it is the most grating and annoying ad. And now maybe there are other ad executives who be like, you know what? You remembered it. But my whole deal is, I don't care if I remember your ad. Isn't the point supposed to be to motivate me to buy your shoes? Isn't that the point of advertising?
For sure. Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. I've never bought into this concept of it's all about attention. Like, no, it's about selling the product. It's supposed to make me want to buy your product.
Sure. Well, I mean, there's some differences, sure, that this one does not qualify. But if there's a memorable
catchphrase
or something, the memorable phrases and stuff that last forever, you know, of... you know, like the old Budweiser commercials and stuff. You know, the what's up and the all those type of things.
Leon, one of my all time favorite campaigns, the Leon can't do everything. Obviously, the dog, remember the dog show one? And the winner is Mort.
Right.
He had like a six pack for the judges. Larry. Like, that was a good one. But like, I'll even contrast it with I do not really care about like insurance. I think I buy insurance the same way everybody does. Like, all right, what's the cheapest option for me? But if all things were equal, because I enjoy the Dr. Rick campaigns, I would be more inclined to go buy Progressive. And it has nothing to do with insurance.
Yeah.
But it's like, I think those commercials are funny, and I want that guy to keep doing that campaign for like 15 years. And I'd like also like to see Flo kind of edged out. But nonetheless.
Whoa, come on. What, Flo, she's making a great living.
This was another one that caught my attention. I actually think I saw it this weekend, and I don't know if y'all have caught on. It's not the first time that's happened, but it's the first time in a while. Geico is running back did the piggy cry wee 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 all the way home?
Mm-hmm.
Guys, the ad is in standard def. If you're watching the broadcast, you get the bars on the side. It goes to standard def. That is how old this commercial is. And it's not like an update. They didn't even bother to remaster it. And I'm sitting there going like, okay, it's a good ad, but like, it's the pig, you know, the pig just rolling out the window, wee wee, and the mom driving the car, being like, you're here. Thanks, Mrs. A. That one. But like, they're just running it back, and they're running it back like in volume.
Oh no.
I think running back some standard def stuff, that's going to get your attention when you see those bars, Jeffrey.
Well, but it's almost like, and Geico doesn't really fall in, like, Geico, I feel like, has a pretty long track record of having decent ads. But, like, I could understand if Geico were a company that's like, hey, people used to be clamoring for our old ads. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, if Bud Light wanted to go back to, like, some of the classics, I'm fine with that. Like,
it's not a bad idea, actually. You're pitching, like, for the Super Bowl one year, just do your best of during the...
We're in the era of nostalgia.
Yeah, just do your best of your commercials or reenactments of the commercials. I don't know why we have not seen that necessarily very much at all.
Like, why are we not checking in on what the What's Up guys are doing these days?
Like Disney does. We've got this weekend, the new Snow White comes out, right? Like,
I don't know if Disney wants us to know that.
Yeah, they don't.
I didn't.
You did not know, yeah.
you don't have a little girl.
Yeah, there's some issues with this movie, lots of complicated issues with this movie. And
mainly the two stars and their relationship with one another.
There's also, you know, it started with how, you know, we're just calling it Snow White. We're not saying the whole title, and we're not hiring people to play those other characters. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different layers. And the fact that this is the original movie, and it's like been mishandled.
This is a Disney classic.
But Disney, you know, Disney has found this way, right? Like, they find a successful movie, and then they make it, they do a live action version, they do a stage production, they do sequels. Like, if you got a successful movie, you're going in all these different directions, right?
And bring back the characters at the parks.
Right. So you've got, like, but we've got Moana 2 just came out, but they're doing a live action Moana. It's going to be coming out, right? Some of these commercials, why not do an updated version of some of these? This is just too great of an idea.
Well, Doritos,
talking about on the radio, Jeffrey. Well, I think we really need to.
I don't know if
there's some like instances, kind of like with Geico bringing back the caveman.
They brought back the caveman a little bit. I didn't find them as funny as they were the first time. Although I do enjoy the when they're playing the Pictionary or whatever they're playing.
What's it called?
Yeah, it's like the game. It looks like the Jedi trick when Anakin's trying to see what's behind the telepad. Yeah. Like they're guessing that.
Heads up.
That's it.
Look, Jeffrey, you're one of the guys. I mean, you still watch commercials. I really watch commercials only
on YouTube.
On YouTube videos, which are very annoying. Super Bowl Sunday, I watch commercials. Peacock, because I have premium, but that does not mean I don't have premium.
Yeah, no,
premium
plus. No, come on. Cock's always going to lay it on hard, if you will.
But the.
mm-hmm.
But what's interesting to me is, here we are, 2025, right? How long has the Turner relationship been here with the tournament?
I think we're going on 10 years. No, they signed a new deal, I think.
Like,
I mean, we're at least 15 years probably.
It feels like forever ago that you did not have access to every game, right?
There were some heroes that bought the whatever the version of Sunday Ticket was. It was like March Madness, something like
that.
Right. You had to have DirecTV.
Okay, but anyway,
The idea that we used to not be able to watch literally, if your game was not in the game you wanted to watch was not in market, you were either trying to scroll the internet, finding a they weren't
they
even
would
really
cut
a leave
to it back and forth.
You were just waiting for the updates.
Yeah,
you're waiting for the game updates, and this is
watching
like,
the box at the top of the screen.
Yes,
but the partnership with Turner's been going on for. I'm just surprised that True TV is still True TV. Like they have not rebranded that. They haven't decided like this is because nobody ever. We always joke that there's the one time a year that you actually watch it and turn to it. But like Spike TV went away. That channel changed names a million times.
It's whatever.
Paramount now was Spike TV. Yeah. It was TNN, and then it was before that it was the Nashville Network, right? That they shortened to TNN and rebranded like. I'm just surprised. You know, sometimes these lower level cable channels evolve into something else, and we're still dealing with True TV. It's like it's still a thing.
Well, we found this out. This is also another great moment of when the tournament's back. I turned my TVs off after the game last night. And you flip them on this morning, and you realize like you're watching the 85th rerun of Impractical Jokers. But we also found out earlier they're now actually doing the Impractical Jokers are not even going to be on True TV anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
They're moving to TBS. They're running promos like, hey, the Jokers are going to be on TBS. It's like, well, then what do you have? Like, I don't know. I think
the first four.
Was True TV originally Court TV?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't even know what the programming is. Van Pelt last night made a joke of it. Like they played a game of is this a real True TV program?
Oh yeah,
He did multiple choice.
I mean that's what I mean. But also, I mean, obviously from the TV perspective, this is a weekend that I feel like, you know, I don't know. Do we watch the most TV sports during this stretch than any other time of the year? As a collective population, I feel like we do. This is it. Right?
Football season's just so tough to like.
You have the Saturday, Sunday.
I feel like, I think what's
Saturday, Sunday, but you turn it off before Monday Night Football.
Right. What I think is fair to say, though, is this feels like the stretch of the
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
One night, one goal, stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st. Register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.